Welcome back to Ukraine Sit Rep. I'm here at the LANPAC conference in Honolulu, Hawaii, where we are meeting with all the representatives of local militaries in the Pacific. I just sat down with the commander of U.S. Army forces in the Pacific, General Ronald Clark, and that was a great discussion. We'll put that on Armed Forces Press a little later today. But we're with Pete Blaber, of course, who is the star of the show. And Pete, you've got a lot to talk about. So tell me where we are in the Ukraine war, and let's just get rolling.
Yeah. So, I mean, both the Iran and Ukraine. So we're at day 71 of Iran hostilities and year four of the Ukraine war. And it, you know, I thought it'd be a good time to take a look at the media coverage of both, and specifically what we've learned about reliability and validity of our news sources and how we can better understand as individuals what's actually happening. And I know from a lot of our viewers, people appreciate the alternate source to a place they can go to find out what is really going on. So, you know, we're all bombarded with news about all the above: Iran, Ukraine, the Hunter virus, the economy, illegal immigration. And if at times you feel like it's stressing you out, you're not alone. And what I wanted to do is up front provide a few things to remember about the human brain and how it handles all this negative propaganda, because it's revealing for understanding what the global mainstream media and what the political pundits are trying to do with their coverage. And the key is that to understand our brains are not wired for happiness or contentment. They're biologically hardwired to keep us alive and survive. And this is a critical distinction to understand. To ensure we survive, our brains default to fear, anxiety, and cortisol-powered stress. And the reason for this is that our species, a Homo sapiens species, has spent 99.9% of our evolutionary time trying to dodge saber-toothed tigers and unpredictable weather. And thus the default to stress, fear. If you hear a noise, that's a saber-toothed tiger. That's why our brain is hardwired that way. Thus, the result in modern times is that our brains dwell on the negative and dismiss the positive as simple trivialities. And that's because, like I said, our brains are hardwired to worry and manufacture cortisol. That's the stress hormone that does so much damage to our heart and our health. And its main symptoms, again, are anxiety and fear. Just as with anything in the human evolution, nature found a solution about 50,000 years ago. We developed this massive neocortex. That's the wrinkly part on the top of your brain. And the power of the neocortex is it gives you a choice. It gives you options. So our emotions ride herd over our brains until we engage our thinking brain and think about the emotions. So it's as easy as taking a couple of long, slow, deep breaths, which is called diaphragmatic breathing. You can also smile or talk calmly and focus on the positives in life. And always remember to yourself that you control your mind, not the other way around. And that's an important distinction, too, when it comes to being psychologically manipulated. You can rewire your brain, and the process is not complicated. It's called learning. It's called learning information, knowledge. That's how you rewire your brain. The cells in our brain are called neurons, and they have little spindly branches that go off and connect with other neurons, and those connections strengthen, weaken over time. So you can change your brain. It's changing right now as you're listening to this conversation, and the process is called neuroplasticity. So the global mainstream media and the social media companies all understand this, all these brain facts, which is why all of them have the highest paid behavioral psychologists on their payrolls, because what they do is implement this fear-based propaganda in the news. Get your attention.
So do our intelligence agencies, right?
Very good point. And we're going to have an example of that coming up here. because fear is the most potent emotion for manipulating human behavior. You can get someone to do anything. If you're trying to manipulate them, fear is the go-to weapon. Thus, you know, the big takeaway there is just remember their purpose, the global mainstream media and these social media companies, is not to help you. It's to stress you out and divide us as a population, as a species, and control us while they continue to hold on to power and take away our freedoms. So, you know, just to sum that up, it's not a conspiracy theory. We everyone who's listening to this has lived through the most insane, what someone would have thought were conspiracy theories of the last 100 years, Russian collusion, the mercenary riots under the name of BLM, the scamdemic, the fake vaccine, and the 2020 election they were created for to manipulate. And then we went on, saw the disastrous abandonment of Afghanistan, and of course, the start and perpetuation of the Ukraine war. These are all massive propaganda promoted lies. And that's what the mainstream media has been doing to us. So it's so important to be consciously aware of that. The reason is this: if we can't learn from the past and present, then we can't adapt to future contingencies. And if we can't adapt, we're going to go the way of 99.999% of all species who ever lived on this planet, and that's extinction. We have to be able to learn to adapt. And it doesn't matter whether your politics are left, right, center, or anywhere in between. The evolutionary crime of political partisanship, propaganda, and fake news is that they impede instead of enable our freedom to learn from, adapt to, and make sense of what's happening in the world around us and sensible choices about what to do next. So let's give some examples of just how bad it's gotten. And we have a study that was just released, and it just shows how lopsided the network news coverage is. And as an example, 2 weeks ago, the longest shutdown in U.S. history came to an end. It was the coverage of it was daily, and it was national. We heard about it all the time, and only 5% of that coverage placed the blame or even implied that the Democratic Party had anything to do with it. And of course, they had everything to do with it. They're the ones who wouldn't approve the budget because of ICE / now called NICE and DHS, and they were throwing a temper tantrum over it. The other 95% of the time was just propaganda saying that the GOP was the cause of the shutdown. And of course, this focused exclusively on ABC, NBC, and CBS, the US national TV news. But again, in 76 days, only 21 days was the word Democrat or Democratic Party even mentioned in the coverage. It was covered every day for 76 days, but they went to such extremes to blame it on the Republicans that they didn't even mention the Democrats having any part of it, which of course they did. So, you know, why was that wrong? Well, let's just talk about the core of the shutdown, the argument, which was immigration enforcement. The Republicans wanted to follow the law, which is what everyone should be reminded of, what the media should be reminding of us, is that we have laws that were passed by Democrats and Republicans in Congress. And those laws say that you cannot be in this country illegally. We have a process, an immigration process you have to go through, and that you cannot commit crimes, whether those are federal or local. So NICE was out there rounding up people who were both in the country illegally and who had committed crimes. You can't criticize that. It's like criticizing a cop for arresting a murderer. That's the law. That's what we've told them to do. That's how we've set up our country. That's how civil societies sustain themselves. But let's look at how they handle some of these international issues. And the first one is the recent reporting on the Hunta virus. And again, a media expert, I think, Todd, you have something on this, named Pierre Corey.
Yeah, and I just, let me interject. I know Pierre Corey extremely well. He actually treated my son who had a vaccine injury.
So wow.
I'm very, very, he is, I'll just put it out there. He is probably the best physician out there on the bioweapon pandemics we've been seeing, who told the truth early, was fired out of a hospital, started his own practice. So I'll just give him a plug. If you have a vaccine injured and you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and won't give you a bunch of spin, go to Dr. Pierre Corey. So I'm ready with that when you are.
Wow. No, that's awesome. You can put it up. And, you know, Dr. Corey brought to our attention that a media study showed that within 3 days of the Hantavirus outbreak on the cruise ship, 100,000 separate articles were published globally about the Hantavirus over that period of just 3 days. And the massive coordination, they all shared common ground in their structure and their messaging. They all used just what we've been talking about, fear. Most of them mentioned masks. And of course, you know, you have to ask yourself, why is this minor cruise ship outbreak consuming the global media cycle? How could 100,000 articles be published?
You know, at CDM, we've become very good at spotting these narratives, because it is following a pattern. You get a Hollywood celebrity involvement, you get the mass media, and then it's just put in front of you. It's created in like a second, and all of a sudden it's an issue in the news. So this is a video. Do you want me to go ahead and play this with Dr. Corey?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
What actually kind of intrigued me more, Talia, about what you said is a colleague told me that there was like 100,000 articles written around the world on Hantavirus in the last couple of days. And that's not typical for a Hantavirus outbreak. Certainly there's always attention and people get scared, but like, that's the other thing with COVID. It was COVID 24/7. And then when you said in your intro about how it seems to be driven by influencers, I'm sorry if I'm getting too like, I don't know. I actually never want to use the word tin hat, because I'm not a tin hat, but these patterns are anomalous. Why, with just this little outbreak of a few cases, suddenly like it's consuming the world's media cycle?
Back to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, his other thing he brought up, COVID, is a great comparison, because remember, in COVID, all the initial reporting was fear-based instead of fact-based. We never heard that there were 32 other COVID viruses out there, strains of the COVID virus. We never heard all the research that that it was just another version of SARS-2, and that they had already discovered that SARS-2 could both be prevented and cured by hydroxychloroquine. They wouldn't tell you any of that. They hid that from you. And so that's what's happened here too with the Hantavirus. My young son came to me, which he rarely does, and he said, "Dad, do you know anything about the Hantavirus?" Because he had seen something on TikTok or whatever that scared him enough to come ask me. So let's go back to that. What should they be doing? Well, they should be sharing fact based information that can actually help people. And that's what I want to do right now. The Hantavirus is not a typically contagious between humans. It's incredibly rare for human-human contagion to occur, except in one strain, the Andes strain, which is the Andes Mountain in South America. And even those person-to-person transmissions are extremely rare. So how do you catch it? It primarily spreads through contact with rodent waste, which includes urine, droppings, and saliva. So if you've ever gone into your attic crawl space or in your basement and found, you know, rat or mice turds, if you stepped on those and they were already dried, then the dust That's how you aerosol them, and then you aerosolize them, then you kick that around. You could breathe that in, and potentially, if these were infected rodents, catch the hantavirus. That's how you catch it. Which also brings up, if you ever do go into your attic or basement and find rat or mouse turds all over, that's the one time that the N95 mask actually is a good use. Throw that thing on. Don't inhale the particles. As far as human-to-human transmission, I go back to the Andes virus. This is the only strain of hantavirus known to have ever had human-to-human virus. And again, I mentioned they're extremely rare. Patient number one on the cruise ship was a Dutch bird watcher who had just visited one of Argentina's largest trash dumps, garbage dumps. And patient number two was his wife. And that makes sense because the type of contact required to pass it requires intimacy. It basically requires sex, a sexual relationship. And I don't know how the third person got it or what relationship that third person had to the two of them or what kind of cruise this was.
A hantavirus love triangle there.
Yes, they're not talking about it, but I suspect there's something, some debauchery there. So the bottom line is the vast majority of hantaviruses, including the U.S. strain, which is called Sin Nombre, without a name, do not spread from person to person. So wouldn't that have been nice for them to include in every report on it instead of creating this, hey, we might have to go to mass. California, Newsom mentioned it. We might have to go to mass again. So again, the fear-based manipulation is still with us, just like it's been for the past 10 years. So now let's look at some of the coverage of Iran and Ukraine. And the first thing I want to look at is this CNN report that basically came out last week and said the majority of all bases, U.S. bases in the Middle East, have been completely destroyed or uninhabitable. And the fact is...
I have that video when you're ready.
Yeah, go ahead. Play that video.
After weeks of Iranian missile and drone strikes, this U.S. military base in the Gulf is transformed. This is Camp Buring in Kuwait, a vast desert hub for American forces, home to thousands of troops and even karaoke nights. It's one of many U.S. military facilities in the oil-rich Arabian Peninsula targeted by Iran, even as the U.S. and Israel pummeled its large arsenal. So just how hard has America's footprint in the Middle East been hit?
A CNN investigation found evidence of unprecedented destruction. We can reveal that strikes damaged at least 16 U.S. installations across 8 countries. According to our analysis and sourcing, that's the majority of American military positions in the region, and some of them are virtually unusable now.
Iran's targets? Multi-million dollar aircraft, like this, Boeing E-3 Sentry, which gave the U.S. a huge amount of visibility over the Gulf. It's out of production, and in today's money, it's worth nearly $500 million. Also, critical communications equipment, and crucially, radar systems. Highly sophisticated, expensive, difficult to replace, and central to air defense. And experts say the war has created a dilemma. Is America's presence in the Gulf making the region safer, or is it becoming its Achilles heel?
So CNN citing their own anonymous sources and their own investigation. And of course, you heard her say the bases are uninhabitable except for karaoke. You can still sing karaoke in the chow hall.
Every day, your data is being tracked, collected, and sold, often without you even realizing it. Big tech companies control your devices, your apps, and the information you share. From your messages to your browsing habits, everything is being monitored and stored. Over time, we've traded privacy for convenience, and most people don't even question it. But what if you could take that control back? That's where Mark 37 comes in. Mark 37 provides privacy-focused phones, laptops, and tablets designed to give you full control over your digital life. With secure systems, expert support, and simple tools, they make it easier to step away from constant tracking and data collection. Because privacy isn't just a feature, it's a fundamental choice. It's about protecting your data, your freedom, and your future. Take back control of your digital life with Mark 37.
By the way, let me just highlight, you saw the ad for mark37.com/CDM. And by the way, I wanted to say I'm starting my journey with Sean. I'm going to be getting a Ghost phone and then upgrading to a Ghost computer soon, because I am going to unplug from the Matrix. And you can follow me along on my journey. So mark37.com/CDM is where you want to go to do that. Find the webinar, sign up for the webinar, and learn everything you need to know to get started. And then you can also sign up for a free 30-minute consultation on privacy there at mark37.com/CDM. But I'm looking forward to it, and I have been worried about privacy for some time, so I'm going to be taking the plunge and changing my life and unplugging from the Matrix, and I'm really looking forward to it. So maybe you can join me.
Divorce is tough, but your finances don't have to be. I'm David Cross, and I'm a certified divorce financial analyst practitioner. My job is to help you get a fair financial settlement in your divorce and to guide you to smarter money decisions. Find out how we can help you. U.S. Asset Management, it's your money and your future.
Unfortunately for them, and there's an article coming out on it, I have a good friend who lives over there permanently. I won't tell you the base country, but his contract is security assessments of all Middle Eastern bases. And he's been to every single one of those. He sent me that report, been to every single one of them. You can't even tell they were damaged. The initial damage was tents. A radar facility that, they've been talking about that one radar facility since the first days, that was hit. It's already been replaced into hardened site. It was operational within a couple of days of being hit in the initial drone attacks. But the 16 base thing is just a complete made up number. And again, you heard her say it. She cites their own investigation and their own anonymous sources. So, you have this, I think, unprecedented in modern time. You have another crazy example of Trump derangement syndrome. The US media, the US mainstream media and Democratic Party are actively working to support the propaganda of Iran and to create propaganda that Iran can use and give them hope to keep the war going. I'm sure in hopes of keeping it going until the midterms.
They also don't want any kind of exit or solution to the problem. So
right,
and they want failure essentially.
Yeah. And I mean, there's all kinds of things they could say about those bases. Do I think we need 16 bases in the Middle East? No. One or two, maybe. But, I think most of those are leftovers from the Iraq war, and they just can't bring themselves to leave them. But they weren't destroyed. They're not vulnerable. Most of them are tents. There's not a lot of hardware at them. They did get that one airplane, but that too was a mistake. It was left out in the open.
And just to interject, we've been very vocal about that before the war, during the war, and still about the exposure. We have to harden our protection of high-value targets like E3s or F-35s or whatever on the ramp. That right. has to be done. We have to protect those aircraft against low-cost drones. I mean, it's just... And maybe they're doing that. I've been hard on the Department of Defense. In fact, I even pushed the Air Force to issue a statement on how they're doing that. So that's a thing, but that doesn't mean the whole Middle East is a failure. It's two different things.
Yep. And things like that, everyone who studies military history knows that Department of War, Department of Defense, mm-hmm. specifically the upper echelon, we have to be kicked in the teeth or punched in the nose before we wake up and go, oh, this is a real threat. And this was just one more example of that.
True.
Todd brought up already the deep state, and the deep state last week leaked a supposed CIA assessment of Iran's strength. That too has turned out to be completely false. All of it. You can see now, because Trump sued successfully a couple of these media organizations, you can see how they're now using softer words so they can't be implicated in false reporting. But this confidential CIA analysis is just like what CNN did. It's another thing that all it can do is encourage Iran, because it says they have many more missiles, many more drones than we initially assessed, and that they can keep going for 3 to 4 months, which, you know, of course they can keep going for 3 to 4 months. They can do anything. Desperate men make desperate moves, but will they survive the 3 to 4 months? That's another question. So it's coming from all sides. And so finally, let's just go down, talk a little bit about what they should be reporting on Iran. And I think you have an article, Todd, on the two individuals who were executed. Yeah. So, you know, two more outstanding Iranian citizens executed, and their crimes will, you know, will make you shake your head in disbelief that anyone would support this regime. The older fellow, who's 40 years old, father of two, he was arrested for using Starlink to access the internet. And he's a businessman. He owns a couple businesses. He's got international clients, an international supply chain. So you could see why he would need to access Starlink, but he was caught. And from what we know, he was tortured first and then beaten to death for the crime of using Starlink. And some people don't know this, but since the beginning of hostilities, 70 some days ago, Iran shut down all internet access to its citizens. So just like we were talking about, we were talking earlier about, you know, what's happened in Ukraine as far as media. It's the same thing in Iran. They have no voice. They have nothing to listen to. They have no way of understanding what's really happening in the world. And the only type of governments that do that are ones who are afraid of the truth and what the truth will do.
Of course.
The other victim, I think it's worthwhile to say his name, Sasan Hunkani, was 20-year-old karate champion. And his crime, which was called a violation of national security, his crime was cooperation with the enemy. But what did he do? He participated in the protests we showed on our last episode back in January. He was caught. One of the people tackled and taken into custody. He was kept in custody and then hung until he died for the crime of, again, cooperating with the enemy.
And the lesson is, Pete, is people need to understand how brutal this regime is to its own citizens.
Yes.
I mean, it has no problem executing thousands of young kids. It has no problem taking the water from an entire community to fund to run a factory owned by the IRGC. I mean,
right.
It's a brutal, brutal, brutal regime. If you're not in the oligarchy, you're screwed, essentially.
Yeah, so, you're not in the theocracy,
yeah,
which, you know, is the oligarchy is part of. So, you know, again, we're not even saying, hey, this is why the war is good. This is why there should be. This is what should be reported. And the fact that nothing is coming out again about the Iranian people, that no reporters are sneaking in, that we're not, you know, we're not using some of these videotapes that get snuck out from cell phones. It's disgraceful. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've talked before about Ukraine. I want to end it with Ukraine. There's some of the exact same things are happening in Ukraine. This last week, we've been on this for weeks. The Ukrainian press published this new leaked recordings of Timur Mindich, that's the guy on the left, lobbying top officials in the apartment he shares with Zelensky. We've all seen the gold toilet. Apparently they go into the bathroom, which he was also bugged to do a lot of their conversations. And Mindich, the other guy who's implicated is Umarov, the defense minister.
Yes.
And now the secretary of Ukraine's national security, and they were discussing kickbacks from defense contracts, which include drones and bulletproof vests, personnel changes, and the possible sale of Firepoint, which I believe is their drone company, private drone company.
And you know who is on the board of Firepoint? Our good friend Mike Pompeo.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm sure he probably was involved in some of that profiteering also. So the recordings will come out. The analysts who have looked at them, you know, so far nothing, there's no implications on Zelensky, even though Mindich is talking to Zelensky and multiple conversations. Also, Zelensky's wife is involved. So, you know, once again, you got to go to the source that's not being reported. And one of the most outspoken critics of Zelensky's regime is his former press secretary. And what she said is what everyone should take away from that, which is, my people are dying so that one person and his friends can become obscenely rich, stressing that the fighting is the only thing that provides Zelensky with money and helps him stay in power, which makes sense of why he just marched around the Middle East saying, hey, do you need us to come help you? Do you need our equipment, our personnel? We're a military for hire. He has nothing else, which is insane. His job is to represent the Ukrainian people, take care of them, make decisions that are in the best interest of them. And, you know, that brings up the ramifications of the mainstream media cover up and silence of Zelensky. Just last week, Zelensky submitted new legislation to once again extend the decree of martial law, which is part of a suite of wartime powers that include suspending elections, banning opposition parties, and shutting down all media organizations, which, if you watched again our last episode, that's the definition of both a totalitarian regime and a fascist, both rolled into one. And why does Europe support that? Why is the EU so supportive? We've also talked about that. It's this money laundering thing. The $90 billion loan was just approved 2 weeks ago. Well, you're already seeing where that money's going to. And if you've got the Saab picture, you could show that, Todd.
Yeah, I do. Hold on.
So,
by the way, it's instructive that the people who are funding the Ukraine war primarily and promoting it, the European globalist capitals, are the same one putting down censorship across their economies and cultures.
So, right. The EU just outlawed last week, or is about to outlaw, VPNs in Europe.
Yes.
So exactly. Great. I'm glad you brought that up. And, you know, the Saab CEO, I won't pick on Saab, but, you know, or anything. They just happen to have this article, and the CEO's words are crazy. He says the deal on the purchase of 150 Gripen fighters for Ukraine will be concluded within a few months. He explains with this confidence by the allocation of the 90 billion euro loan to Ukraine by the European Union. And Johansson, the CEO, stated that this funding will enable the deal to be concluded within a few months. So, you know, they're not even hiding that the reason the deal will go through is the loan. It's happening that quickly. As soon as the loan was approved, all these deals went through and the money comes right back to the European military industrial.
And why are they buying, you know, I guess it's Ukraine and but that's a high threat environment. Why are they buying fourth generation fighters, which are highly
Great
vulnerable,
question.
Highly vulnerable on that flight?
Great question. Yeah. Well, it might've been part of the deal.
Yeah.
Maybe when they said they'll approve it, as long as it's the same way the military industrial complex used to work in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Senators and congressmen from various states voted for weapon systems that made no sense because part of that weapon system was going to be manufactured in their state.
Yes.
And be attached to money coming in and jobs and the like. So, you know, the final thing on Ukraine is what's happening on the ground. Same thing. We always show the TCC. I don't know if you have any of those, Todd.
Yeah, I do. Hold on. You're talking about the videos. Yes, hold on. I have those.
Yeah.
Here is one. Let me just bring this up. This is a mobilization event that happened in the last few days where they are actually shooting at Ukrainians trying to stop the mobilization. Okay, that's one, and here's another, which is also informative because it is people stopping, the passers-by are now getting involved. So this is an abduction by the bounty hunters, and the car stop and a crowd forms and forces him to get free.
Which is bravery in the highest form. Yes. And it shows you how deeply committed the people of Ukraine are to wanting to end this war and to... Yes.
So he gets away and runs away.
So outstanding. Look at all those people.
Yeah, it is good. It is good to watch. Yeah, it is.
It's informative because it's empirical example that this war does not make sense to anyone, much less the most important people on the planet, in this case, the citizens of Ukraine. And these are not ethnic Russians. These are ethnic Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. And the messaging, the purpose of the war does not make sense to them. They know what's happening, but you don't see that. There's no free media in Ukraine. There's no global mainstream media reporters who report openly in Ukraine, or you'd see this every night like Todd and I do, because there's literally hundreds of these cell phone recordings, because that's the only way they can police up these people and replenish their front lines.
Which is why Europe wants to shut down social media and access to, you know, being able to put those kind of videos out, because media has changed. So
they're complicit. So, you know, just to conclude, some of us may someday forgive the corporate media for the divisiveness they've manufactured, the lawlessness and unnecessary deaths they've contributed to, and of course the monumental betrayal of trust that we the people bestowed upon them. But none of us should ever forget it. We've now seen it with our own eyes and heard it with our own ears and felt it in our hearts and our souls. And thanks to all the lies from what we've already mentioned, the Russia hoax, the scamdemic, the fake facts, the stolen election, we don't need any more examples to learn this as a species. So what's the lesson? Do not listen to the global MSN or these professional news readers. Maintain a healthy air of skepticism on everything you hear, including what you hear from us. Seek out alternative sources. Apply the make sense test to everything you see and hear. Those recruitment videos are a great way to do that. That does not make sense that the people of Ukraine support the war. And of course, one of the best ways to pressure test the sense we make is what we do right here at CDM. We say it out loud to ourselves and others that we trust, because the more senses you involve, the more sense you can make. And with that, Todd, I'll turn it back over to you.
I completely agree. I just want to highlight for people who may be watching, who want more information on the hantavirus outbreak, in air quotes, we have been and will be going forward very active in reporting on this. You can go to CDM. This is on our main site, cdm.press, but this is from our Connecticut paper, Hantavirus and Psychological Bioterrorism. And then there is also this one on the main site. Is hantavirus a bioweapon? Likely yes. So anyway, and that's a whole other story, Pete, how they geoengineered, or what do you call it?
Bioengineered.
Well, where they gain of function.
Oh, gain of function.
They yeah. made it more transmissible between humans. And another part of that is all those biolabs in Ukraine, that's where they were testing a lot of this gain of function on Georgian soldiers and Ukrainian soldiers back 10 years ago. And we reported on that. So that's, there's more down that rabbit hole that may come out. Anyway, thank you, Pete. Anything else?
Nope, that's all I got, Todd.
All right, we'll have this out soon. And thank you for joining us here on Ukraine SitRep. Talk again.